Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. We got a great show, lots of great guests. And, of course, we're always brought to you by Colorado Citizen Press, the one site you need to go to actually get the truth in Colorado.
Truth Straight Up, ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Yeah, great articles every day. So you really need to check it out.
There are some of the articles, and actually John Caldera is running a poll on this. The Colorado Health Department has declared a racism, a public health emergency or crisis. So John Caldera and this Colorado Citizen Press folks have done a story on that too, saying, what else should we have be a health crisis? I sometimes think there are not enough drive-through Starbucks around. I know we're not supposed to like Starbucks, but I do like Starbucks. So maybe we could declare that a public health crisis. Joe Biden certainly is a public health crisis. We're hoping to get for the show today a gentleman by the name of Bill Ottman. He's the CEO of an alternative social media platform called Minds. I'm hoping to get him. We also have Ted Trimpa, our favorite Democrat strategist.
Talking about Kamala Harris and what kind of pick he think. And he wrote a great column in the Denver Post as the only... You know, I always call him the sword of Soros, but I'm about to call him the only sane Democrat left in Colorado.
Right. Had a great column. Took a lot of flack for that. Here's the thing. Republicans or conservatives, even when we're trolling, we're more polite. I mean, the liberals, I mean, the nasty, ugly comments he was getting for saying, hey, maybe we should clean up the Capitol. Call me crazy. The Capitol building, it's like freedom of speech does not mean you get to destroy and loot, things like that. You're seeing places pull out of Chicago. You've got that. And then coming up at 3:40 Denver time, Mick Jolly, a former special agent with the Secret Service.
We'll find the lowdown on the Clintons and the Bushes because he was a secret agent during
what he could tell us about that. And also they wanted to talk to him about crime. I saw a thing somewhere today saying that crime in Denver, violent crime up 50%. Over last year.
That's not bad.
That's not bad in an election year. Yeah. And I think the problem that we face is not only is the violent crime up, but it's not as if you can turn it around. It's not like all of a sudden, Joe Biden wins the election or Trump wins the election, then boom, all the criminals. And it cracks me up. You always see the Denver police and Mayor Hancock put out an appeal to citizens to stop shooting each other. Chuck and I readily agreed to that. I mean, give me a break. It's the problem is not the community. Okay. The problem is not... Yeah. The problem is them, and then you've got these crazy bail situations, which Kamala Harris is part of, which is them, letting criminals back out. It's, telling people sitting at home, hey, don't commit any more violent crimes. People will be like, okay, I won't. The criminals, number one, I don't think they watch FaceTime Live, so they probably missed that altogether. But while we're waiting, hopefully for Bill Ottman to come up, and Bill, if you're out there somewhere on Zoom, please feel free to just unmute yourself and bring your camera up. Sometimes it's hard to tell who people are. In the meantime, though, we can take phone calls, 888-627-6008.
Tell us your views on Kamala Harris. What do you think of her? I think in general, she's been around enough, ran for president. She's not going to upset anybody. She's not going to thrill anybody. I think she was a safe pick and a bad pick, but probably the best of their bad picks to it. And we all saw her. I thought she'd be a pretty good candidate after watching her in the Senate hearings. She's kind of snarky, but intelligent. And she was, you got to know her and hate her.
Right. And we'll see if Ted Trimpa has changed his tune.
Well, he changed it two or three times like we all did, tell you the truth.
Well,
he was liked her, hated her.
Great on paper, and for whatever reason.
She's great on paper. I mean, she is a DA, top cop who threw everybody
before,
in prison.
I mean, a year ago, she was great on paper, right?
Well, I'm not sure she's so great on paper. And Friday, I want to play the video when she just got killed.
By Tulsi
Gabbard. I want to play that because she just ripped her apart which was great.
Here's my thing, you know, and I thought of it before Tucker Carlson did, by the way, but he called me. No, he expressed it very well. When I looked at that, I thought, what a cynical choice. If nothing else, the choice of Kamala Harris for the vice presidential candidate, I think, totally underscores the cynicism and the greedy power grabbingness of the Democrat Party. A few short months ago, Kamala Harris was calling Joe Biden on the stage in every attempt to humiliate him and crush him a racist.
Yeah.
Right?
When so asked, you're not a racist, but you're a racist.
But you're a racist. That was clearly where she was going with that. Right. In the meantime,
and she also said she believes Tara Reid and the accusers of Joe Biden.
So if you're doing that, she sucks.
But that's okay. As long as.
Yeah, here's my point on that. So one of two things is going on. Either Kamala Harris knew that she was lying and she was just calling Joe Biden a sexually assaulting racist to win, so she could win, right? Or she now knows, okay, well, he was all of that, but I don't care. It's like you can't have it both ways.
I think it's the latter. You know, she said, well, to be vice president.
She just wants to win.
And Joe didn't want her. I read lots of articles in Real Clear Politics that really, he wanted Whitmer, the dictator governor of Michigan. And then he liked Susan Rice, who he got to know at the White House. And he really did not want to choose Kamala Harris. And everybody said, "Well, but you gotta, you know, you don't have any choice." Well,
can't have the woman, the other governor, because she's. But here's the thing, though. Again, to look at the cynicism and the complete lack of a moral compass. Like I said, if Kamala Harris did not believe Joe Biden was a sexual assaulting racist, then she shouldn't have called him that. And calling him that only so she should win. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Has no moral compass, no philosophical compass.
No, you don't get to talk the entire show.
I do so. If she you know, did think that, and now she still wants to be his vice presidential candidate, still no moral compass or philosophy. I think, you know, say what you want about Susan Rice, she at least kind of has a philosophy, right?
Yeah, lie whenever she can to the American public. She got a philosophy.
But I don't know
when it's good.
Tucker Carlson called her, Kamala Harris, the most transactional human being in the country. And it said, and if you don't understand why they picked her, then you're not cynical enough. I mean, to me, that just shows the entire Democrat Party right there in a nutshell. No moral compass, no philosophy, really, no belief system, no platform other than destroy and grab power.
And if you think, well, it's a kind of a weird combination of an old white guy and a much younger vice president. The age difference between Biden and her is 22 years. Her boyfriend, she was the mistress to Willie Brown. Back when she was 29 years old, who was then
her political career.
He pointed her all these commissions in California, paid hundreds of thousands of dollars each. And so Biden is younger than Willie Brown, who's now, I think, 81 or 82. So she's used to this. She's real good with this. And I'm sure she was able to kind of convince Joe, no, I won't be that bad. I won't stab you that often. But again,
if you're a Democrat, you got to be looking at this saying, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, so does she think Joe Biden is a racist? Is he a racist? She, on the other hand, is a cop. You're seeing the progressives, at least on social media, are screaming about this, saying she's a top cop, for Pete's sakes. In this day and age where we're trying to defund the police, Kamala Harris is a prosecutor. And as a prosecutor, she arrested African-American men for marijuana, kept them past their sentences. I mean, she was incredibly
harsh.
And laughed about
it about herself. She was a doper during that time. I mean, really, is and her own father can't stand her. It's interesting she's going to pay reparations because I think it's her great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, Hamilton Brown, was the biggest slave owner in Jamaica. So she can come up with some money for everybody.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not a bizarre choice. I think you're right. It is a cynical choice, and that's what the Democrat Party is right now.
But they have no one, you know, before Kamala Harris, you know, before we got to know her, you can think, well, she'd be a strong candidate for president, right, quite frankly. Then she was, remember the snooty ones she gave Tassio? well, you're not a grade A candidate, so you know, why should I talk to you? I
mean, well, and then when in the last,
and then she plummeted herself.
Right, she was polling 7% or getting 7% in her own state in California.
So I mean, you know, the Democrats always like to pretend they're an idealistic. They're nice people. Now, if you know any of them, they're not nice people.
Ted's nice. Okay.
But they're not nice people. They're vicious, amoral.
Well,
people.
Not all. There's some nice Democrats.
Who?
My cousin.
Who?
Who's Kitty. That? My cousin is a Democrat. My daughter is a nice person.
She's not a Democrat, is she? Anymore?
I think. Well, anyway, there are some nice. I disagree with Chuck. There are some nice Democrats.
Okay, I can
see. They're misguided.
They're misguided
and naive.
No, but at any rate, they are not on en masse nice people.
Well,
but,
remember,
but they always want to pretend they are. They always want to, you know, oh, I really care about everybody. You know, I have scruples. I have morals. And of this two, Biden-Harris, there is not a honest bone in both bodies combined. I mean, they are a hideous couple, a sick,
well,
representing everything wrong with the Democratic Party.
Well, and everything wrong with politics. I mean, let's take a look at Joe Biden, for instance. His family, I mean, the Burisma scandal, I think, is the tip of the iceberg, son is appointed to boards in the Ukraine. He's
never been there.
Making millions and millions of dollars on boards in China. Money is all funneled back to the
venture capital firm, which you'd want his picks, you know, as he's snorting away.
Well, you know, I mean, it all goes back to the Biden family. So Joe Biden gets into politics. His family becomes wealthy off of politics. They allow corruption to go on in other states. I mean, Joe Biden, back before you realize you shouldn't do this, was saying, you know, but we're going to withhold money to Ukraine if you don't, you know, cut out the investigation and make everything good. Yeah,
you've got an hour.
Okay, so that's Joe Biden. He's an old school politico. To a certain extent, probably a nice guy, right? And that's the way they've done business forever. Joe Biden.
He's not a nice guy. You don't rip off everybody. You don't criminalize every black person in the country with the Biden crime bill of 1994. There's nothing nice about that. There's nothing nice about anything he's ever done.
He seems like he might have been nice before he started sniffing people's hair. But have that. So
rapes
he is,
a few, but, I mean, but he's a nice rapist.
But
he's a nice rapist.
They had problems with Hillary Clinton. It's like Joe Biden is it every bit as corrupt, right? It has every bit as many of the old problems. So then
two of them did a world tour. Hillary was going around with her foundation, her and Bill, ripping every country they could possibly get to. And then what any countries they missed, or if they left some money on the ground, then in comes Joe Biden and his family, his brother.
Whatever was left over.
I don't think the Clinton's got overly in Ukraine, but
and here's
I can't
the thing.
Believe they missed anything.
And that's why, in part, everybody in Washington, D.C., we go back to this, and we've talked about this. This is why they hate Donald Trump, because Donald Trump came in and was upsetting that whole revolving door of making money through your political appointments. Now you bring in Kamala Harris. I don't know that she's gotten to be particularly rich off of politics yet.
What are you talking about?
But she's a senator, right?
What do you mean they all are rich? You know, they all inside trade. I mean, she would steal a penny off a dying homeless person. I mean, she's just disgusting.
Well, telling them
now they got the news conference where she's just going, "Hi." You know, that head tilt that women do. Hi, I'm coming here.
Well, and there again, and like I said, no morals. Disgusting. It's like either she hates Joe Biden and he's a racist and she believes that he was sexually assaulting women, or she doesn't. And if she doesn't believe it, she shouldn't have said it.
No.
And if she does believe it.
That's being unfair to her. She didn't care if he was a racist or had raped anybody. And he didn't care whether he raped people. He just didn't care.
She didn't care.
And now, okay, you know, I didn't care. She didn't care then. She doesn't care now. All she cares about is number one. And even her father's disgusted by her, as well he should. He seems like a good guy.
Well, and I think it exposes, as you said, the Democrats like to pretend that they're the party with the philosophy and they, you know, and all of that
help
stuff.
Help the little people.
Right. And I think this
get
is clear.
Screwed.
Right.
That's what they help the little
I mean, and you look
do.
At what's been going on in Chicago with the looting there.
Oh,
right?
That's okay.
I mean, that heartbreaking.
That's reparations. Didn't you know?
Oh, I know. And they actually said that. I don't know if you guys heard that, but one of the Black Lives Matter leaders in Chicago said that they had the right to loot, that it was reparations. I mean, you know, again, I think that what's going on right now, and you got to hope people get it, is exposing the Democratic Party for what it is. They just want power, no matter what. They want power, power, power. And once they get it, they want to take control of the country and the voting and the way the elections work, so that
like
they can
have done in Colorado,
right? So they can maintain
with the
their power.
Of the establishment Republicans.
And you look at, you know, I think what's also becoming increasingly clear is what a farce, I mean, it's always been clear to me, but what a farce the whole coronavirus thing is. The right now, the Democrats and the Democrat governors are doing everything they can to keep the economy locked down. They're doing everything they can to encourage the sense of dismay and fear because of the riots and the looting.
They don't report the deaths in places like Colorado. What they do is they don't report for a couple of days so they can total them up.
And then they say, right.
And then they say, oh, we got new cases. Well, yeah, of course you got new cases. Every time you... And as I forget which Mike DeWine tested negative, then positive, then negative, then negative again. I mean, you know, but
right.
If he should keel over tomorrow, he'd be a coronavirus death.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. And I think that they are being exposed. I think that allowing the riot, just even here in Colorado, the homeless camps to be the way they are, the riots at the state capitol, the vandalism and the looting in downtown Denver, I think people look at that and they're like, you know, that's not what I thought the Democrat Party was going to be. I mean, it's just one of those things. Let me read this note from Sandra. I agree regarding the Democrat Party, but I also think that some of the Republicans, true Sandra, do and did the same thing. Hence, that's why they're fighting Trump. Absolutely agree with that. Hey, I think I saw Ted Trimpa jump onto Zoom.
Somewhere. Hiding in there.
Ted, if you are
snarking
there.
Around. There he is. There he is. We knew he's on there somewhere.
Hey, Ted. Our friend and Democrat strategist, Ted Trimpa.
I said earlier in the program, I said, I used to call you, or still call you, the Sword of Soros, but I'm now calling you the only sane and brave Democrat in all of Colorado. I'm surprised you're still alive. Do you have security?
I'm probably going to need to get it.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me ask you about that before we get to Kamala Harris. But tell people, because I think if you haven't looked at it, it is definitely worth, I don't agree with all of your points, but I think, you know, you certainly are speaking out and taking a brave stance, which is kind of bizarre to think that saying don't vandalize the state capitol is a brave stance.
Yeah.
It seems like a simple proposition to me.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the right to protest. You need to protest. Stopping traffic's fine. Keeping people from going into a building's fine. But the very institution that you're trying to use in order to make the change for you and the causes that you care about is the one you're going to go pay, you know, Pablo Picasso and paying up. I mean, that we just can't let that slide. And the fact that it sat there that long.
Let me ask you, what do you think of the nice Support the Blue rally in which some of your folks came over and punched Julie? They thought that was nice. That's first.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, none of this should be acceptable. I mean, you shouldn't be attacking each other. The idea of protesting.
It wasn't a matter of, I mean, Julie's face didn't attack the pro. The
oh, no.
Antifa fist. But okay, Julie, stop attacking that Antifa fist.
Attacking each other.
I
get it.
Why, Ted, though? I mean, from what I gather, the response, at least from your Twitter account, and everybody should follow Ted, he's at Ted Trimpa. Your Twitter, I mean, you were just like, it was almost as bad as what happened to me and Chuck. I mean, it's why such hatred for what seems to be a fairly straightforward, non-controversial stance?
Yeah, well, I think there are two things that are going on. I think one, it's just team. You know, there's the opposing team and then my team. And so therefore I'll say anything to support my team. And then the second piece is there is, you know, a train of thought that's out there that says, fine, you can have peaceful protesting, but you also have to have a little bit of violence, smash in some windows, burn some buildings down. You know, the example that I've been given by some is Martin Luther King and then Malcolm X. And together, that's what made their argument goes. The civil rights movement happened. And I just don't buy that. Bad behavior begets bad behavior. And if we let this continue, the fact that they knew the graffiti was there, they didn't start to clean it, they didn't put a fence around it, and just let it continue to happen. I mean, there was an article about it, I think today or yesterday. It was happening like a week ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Still happening.
Don't you know the governor of our
state? Go out to dinner, stop by, throw some graffiti up. Right. Try to do a silhouette of your grandmother.
The governor, when you saw him, and say, "Hey, Gov, have you? I know you're up in Boulder and all that, but you maybe you'd stop by and see what your capital looks like."
Well, we've talked about it. We've talked about it.
And what's he say?
What's he say?
Well, you know, first of all, one, you know, got to give him credit. Yesterday, he came out and condemned it.
Oh God! What a unifying force that guy is. That's fantastic.
All right, let him go on. Fantastic. Okay.
I'm just praising. I'm giving praise.
But you know, outside of that, you know, nothing has, and it's for me, it's really disappointing. If people want to get really mad at me, then get mad at me.
Well, we are not mad.
And part of the point I was trying to make, and I'm hoping people get. I actually think there's a lot more positive reaction out there.
Yeah.
Than there is negative. I mean, you always have these Twitter trolls that all they want to do is, you know, it's just piss on something. But, it, you know, there's a trend line here that I think is positive with it. I think people are seeing it. You know, the more that people can retweet it out with a positive comment, that would be great.
Okay.
I don't know why Kyle Clark decided to attack you. Did you understand that?
Did he? Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah. He accused you of every.
No. Chuck's making that up. That's fake news, everybody. Fake news. Don't attack us.
You mean the man with bad blazers?
Yes, that's him. Sports football.
Well, let me switch gears then. But we wanted to get you on. And thank you for agreeing for your time, I know.
Oh, of course. Always. Always happy to do it.
Kamala Harris.
You've hated Kamala, liked Kamala, hated Kamala. I'm sure you're back.
I will say this. From the beginning, after she dropped out, I've always said that she was going to be the top candidate for vice president.
Yes.
Because she checked a lot of boxes. She checks the female box. She checks the non-white box.
Right.
And, you know, and quite frankly, and I realize people on the right are having fun with this. You know, there's the black box, but also there's the Asian box.
Yeah, that's right. The Jamaican box, the Caribbean box.
You know, and then, you know, realizing is something that, you know, I've said all along that, you know, you have to have, you know, suburban moms in order to win.
Oh, yeah.
For people to assume that it's the far left that's going to get you elected.
Right.
I just don't buy that. And I think what they get is, you know, the prosecutor in her. There are places that's really going to sell. She's not, and you guys are really going to just fall off your seats on this one. She's not as liberal as people would think.
That's true.
You didn't react to that.
It's Joe Biden.
I don't know. Kamala is wherever you want her to be.
Exactly.
She's been a mistress to a 6-year-old man at age 29 who was married, and she was that. And Joe Biden
was a racist.
Joe Biden's young compared to Willie Brown.
Oh, come on. So she did that. So what? What that shows to me, she knows how to work the system.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree. She's morally bankrupt.
Morally
bankrupt.
I get what you're saying.
She'll get the mistress vote. She'll get the suburban women with old rich guy vote. She also got the slave owner vote.
And she'll get the gay vote because she's a really, really great dresser.
Huh?
I said she'll get the gay vote because she's a really great dresser.
There you go. Yeah, Elizabeth Warren was not going to work.
No, you're right.
I agree with what you said because I know there's a lot of the progressives are like freaking out a little bit about this, radical left. But I kind of think it's not like they're going to vote for Trump, right? So you can, frankly, alienate them, I would think, to a certain extent.
Or not vote.
Okay.
The one thing I can say about Kamala, too, though, is Pence better hold on to his shorts. You know, because she can be an attack dog, and she's going to be unleashed now.
We can't have debates because it's too dangerous.
Maybe you can have vice presidential debates.
If they do the debates virtually, I would put my money on her doing it virtually.
Yeah.
Then Pence doing it virtually. It's going to be like the Kennedy-Nixon debates.
That's true. I mean, I would. What about this? Why her over? What was wrong with Susan Rice?
Benghazi. I think, you know, even though Benghazi is a made-up, you know, issue, I do think it's that. And also, if I were advising him, you would be putting somebody on the ticket that's never run. You know, it's never been in, you know, that kind of box and suffered that kind of beating. You know, yeah, she suffered being national security advisor and everything that happened. But it's different, you know, being an elected official or someone running for elected office. I think that would have been too much of a risk.
What about this? Now, I mean, everybody's talking about it today, but, you know, you're a strategist. This is what you do for a living. in the end, does she make that much of a difference, do you think?
Oh, it's you know, it's like the old rule in politics, you know, the picking a vice president, you want somebody who won't do you damage.
Yeah.
Right.
But I actually think in this instance, it might be a little bit different because, you know, I think Biden, you know, is there. He could be a good president, but he's not young.
He's the figure.
And so a lot of people are going to look at that and say,
what's
going to happen? And there's, you know, there's even more of an assumption that this is a nod to who could be the next Democratic nominee for president.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows Biden's going to serve one term. This goes back to a friend of mine gave me this idea. So, you know, I'll give him credit that somebody else had it. But it's a idea I like is I think it would be smart to do kind of a Trump move. You know, when Trump announced these are the, you know, people that I will be picking from for the Supreme Court, I think that they should announce this is who we want for our defense secretary, our treasury secretary, secretary of state, attorney general. And so you run as a team.
Yeah.
And
so
it gives comfort to the United States. It's
team
like,
rivals.
Okay, I'm team not just
get
know,
all
relying
the
on Kamala.
Get Pete Buttigieg.
Right, exactly. Team rivals, exactly.
What about, hey, listen, we'll take a phone call. Barney, I know, likes to talk to you. So let's we'll bring up Barney. Hey, Barney, you're welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show with our special guest, Dem strategist Ted Trimpa.
Hello, Chuck and Julie and Ted. How are you?
Hi, Barney.
We're good.
Come on, man. Come on, man. You don't like Camilla. Come on, man. Hey, okay, Chuck, first off, I got to eat a little bit of crap, and you're going to eat it too.
Okay.
My daughter was mad at me when I told her that we both referred to Kamala as the, you know, the woman of the night look. And, you know, I think about it. It's like,
the woman of the what?
Woman of the night.
The woman, you know, prostitute, you know. So we probably shouldn't do that. We have women in our lives. We shouldn't do that. So,
I didn't call her woman of the night. I call her mistress to an old,
guy that helped her.
We said that she looked like a prostitute, but it's okay. We shouldn't do that, I think. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But the woman on Saturday Night Live that plays her, she's a hoot. Now, now Ted might actually like what I have to say. That's going to make me want to puke. But you don't normally pick a vice. You pick a vice president to win something. You're already going to lose California. But I have a feeling if she debates Pence, Pence is going to look like a jackass. He already does, and I don't think that could go well. And I don't know what that does for Biden, but obviously Biden doesn't want to do. Ted, wait a minute. You said Biden would make a good president? Come on, I'm going to call bull crap on that. You're just saying that. You're just saying it.
He has to say that, though, Biden.
Come on, man.
He went out
on
a limb. To say, don't trash.
When you think about what a Pence, you know, Kamala debate could look like, you have a 1950s white straight guy who carry around, you know, his Bible, and he's going to be trying to answer, and she's going to walk all over him.
Right.
Sure,
Amoral,
would say anything, do anything, has no moral compass. She'd be great. I mean, she would be a good debater.
But I got to wonder if that's going to happen. I mean, again, we have to remember it's too dangerous for Joe to even get out of the basement.
Yeah, she had to come to Wilmington so they could put some American flags in the back.
Barney, anything else? Anything else? Final thoughts?
No. And by the way, Ted, I'm not real big. I don't really think she dresses that well. She kind of had a couple of nights there where she didn't look so hot. So I don't know what gay guys you're hanging out with, but the gay guys I hang out with, they would be thinking she don't dress too well. So I don't know. Maybe you're a conservative. Okay. I don't know.
That I am not.
I still love you anyway, Ted.
Love you guys. Good to hear from you, Barney.
Bye.
Kamala is stuck. She has to, I mean, she's a senator. They have a certain, they don't have a lot of latitude in what they can.
They have all the latitude.
Well,
you watch
some of
those people's in the House, you know.
Well, the House is
she needs one of those cowboy hats. It's red and a lot of sparkle.
She could get her fake Southern accent back, too, maybe.
Yeah, Jamaican.
Let me ask you this, and in terms of, because you were the one on our show many years ago who said that you thought people would discount Donald Trump when everyone was saying he wouldn't win at their own peril. You were right. How are you sensing this? I mean, all the stuff that's going on in the country, I mean, I think it's kind of still, frankly, too early to tell. There's so much shifting around and changing. But what's your
sense? I definitely think it's too early to tell. Any poll that you're looking at today, you got to keep in mind that it's August. You know, there hasn't been a debate. Everything, you know, for Biden has been scripted. And going into, you know, the fight and battle with Trump, particularly when they're, I don't know how they're going to like set up these debates, because you just got to make sure that he's really prepared and understand how Trump plays, you know, because he, it's not a debate to him. It's a show.
Right.
And I think the numbers are going to close. Republicans are going to come home. And so, you know, come that 8-point or whatever the lead is in Michigan, you know, I think some of that's going to close.
Okay.
I just it's still going to be, you know, it's Biden's to lose.
I don't know about that.
It's unclear to me. I mean, it seems to me that there are no Republicans that I know, none, that supported Trump that say, I don't like him this time. So that can't be it. And maybe the great middle of independent voters has gone against him. Maybe that's it. But I do question the polls when in real life, if you talk to people, I know some people who voted for Evan McMillan, and a couple who voted for Johnson. Yeah. They're not going to vote. They're going to vote for Trump. So,
well, you know, there's some new methods of polling out there. Some of it is based on Google searches.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, you know, done, and I can't remember, you know, the terms, you know, they validated or whatever. But it's turned out that it's being more accurate than the types of surveys that we have now. Because it's a question of who answers their phone, who answers their cell phone, how does that work? And then you try to overlay that. Well, then we'll do what we call qual boards, and you'll have a certain randomly selected group of folks, and you do kind of an internet thing, and they write things down, and they type it back. Anyway, these new methods, this Google method, I know one of the engineers that developed it, he's actually the DU kid, actually grew up a block and a half from here. And he said the numbers that they're seeing is it's definitely a single-digit race. But they see it as being more competitive.
Just
based on the, you know, the methodology that they use.
Can't trust Google, but it's interesting that if they're being straight internally.
Well, you'll be shocked.
Well, look at it this way. Look at it this way. They know more about your lives than you do.
Oh, God.
No, that's true.
Exactly.
The new dynamic dude of Biden-Harris have just finished up. And guess what? They didn't take any questions. There's a shocker. I bet she could answer a few questions, but they didn't want Bill going off script, you know? To show while he makes such a great president as long as nobody asks him a question.
Let me ask you, switch gears to Colorado. Here in Colorado, some of the polls, again, if you believe it or not, show Cory Gardner no longer losing by triple digits in Colorado. making progress. What do you see? John Hickenlooper is pulling his own Joe Biden. I mean, is no one has even seen John Hickenlooper. How
Betty Ford Clinic.
What any sense of what's going on in that race?
I think it is closing. You know, you have this kind of ad barrage and the money that Corey's been spending compared to what John's been spending. Right. It's bound to have some effect. I think the ethics thing is sticking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, you know, and I've said this before, it's going to come down to, I think, in large part, what the margin is for Trump. You know, and the most recent poll that I've seen, and these were from a poll that was in the field last week, it's a 12-point difference for Trump in Colorado now. And if that closes a little bit more, then Corey's within striking distance. Right now, I still think it's John's to lose, but it's definitely true that they've closed the gap. And I think I think I said this last time or the time before, you know, the thing to watch is how much advertising is up the beginning of September after Labor Day, and is the NRSC, you know, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, it's the big committee that's controlled by the politicians that spends money on ads. If they're still in the game,
today are coming from Mitch McConnell PACs funded by the Chamber of Commerce.
So if you continue to see that kind of spending, then that means the numbers that they're seeing are that he's close enough to win.
Right. And you know, hopefully you can get the dope dealers and stuff.
And what about then, because I know we've got Mick Jolly, another guest coming up here. Let me ask you this, because this is, in, you know, the brilliant strategy that
Let me ask you one other kind of electioneering.
Okay.
I mean, back in 18, the governor really had an extraordinary ground game. Not only did he have the usual slaves of the Democratic Party, like the SEIU
and the teachers union,
but obviously a groundswell of activists and everything else that came out and staffed all its offices and did an incredible job of border campaigning and mail.
We create that, you know.
I know.
Well, you don't have
to. That doesn't happen organically.
Well, I know.
I wish you could send a memo to the Republicans. They don't seem to.
They need you to stop by the dementia wards before you get there to steal all the ballots. But
harvest them, as you say.
Yes, yeah. Harvest them.
But it doesn't seem, at least to date, that there's the same. But maybe there is. I don't know.
The same. I'm sorry. I'm not following the question.
The same level of grad.
No, I think that's true. And it's. I think it's going to cost more in order to get that to happen. The other thing is the unknown is how much of this Black Lives Matter movement passion translates into anything.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not convinced that it will necessarily translate into votes. Because a lot of what they're saying is, you know, we're tired of the system, we hate the system, we have to tear the system down, this is why we're making all these statements. And so I think some of them would be like, well, then why should I participate? Hopefully, from my perspective.
Well, maybe they could go with their kind of retractable police batons and go to doors saying, you are going to vote,
Isn't that a Republican tactic?
I don't think, you know, the looters in Chicago are going to be worried about voting that much, right? I mean, that's just not.
As long as Gucci, it can be wrong.
Right, exactly.
Have they looted Gucci?
Oh, yes, Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, Ross was just telling me about it.
Victoria's Secret? They looted little family stores. Well, let me ask you sort of a final question for me, unless Chuck has more. One of the things, though, and I think we've seen this in Colorado with the reaction to the pandemic, the lockdown, the schools, et cetera, how awful it is from people like us to see the Democrats control absolutely everything. And the way you do that was by winning House seat here, a Senate seat here in Colorado. It does not, to me, just looking at it, look all that great for Republicans in Colorado in this election. Are you?
I completely agree. Agree. Unless something dramatic happens and changes. I actually think we'll pick up seats again.
Is there technically a Republican Party in Colorado? I'm a CPC, you know, committee precinct captain, wherever the heck it is, person. And it is as if the Republican Party does not, we have candidates on the show all the time.
The fact that Dudley Brown lost all those primaries and the kind of coordinated campaign around that. And it seems to me, you can sense there's a multi-year effort with real money on the Republican side. I think there's some Democratic people are calling side. It the red print. I think there's something real about bringing the party back.
Republican money.
We don't have any.
It's no Republican money.
As you know,
all the Republican strategists are going to you asking for Democratic money. There is no Republican money, and therefore they have to go to you to get it.
Because they're going to trick us. They're fake Republicans.
Yeah. Fake Republicans. I mean, you got more rhinos. You really need more rhinos. I mean, so you just have the far left.
Hey, listen, we have a big zoo.
Yeah.
We're just whining, Ted, because it's just not fun.
It's not whining. It's just the Republican Party didn't exist. Rhinos are getting money from Democrats, and we're not even a deep species. Not deep blue. We're just there's no red in the spectrum.
But you know, did you see the article? I don't know if it was in the Post, the Washington Post, or the New York Times. Don't slam it yet. That talked about, you know, those consultants that set up these entities to do these activities and to raise the money, voila, gee whiz, surprise, surprise, the companies that they're hiring are themselves.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That would never happen.
No, not the Republican consultants. They just care about their candidates. They just desperately care about their candidates.
Well, didn't you talk about this in Bloomberg, Colorado? Yeah,
and they call them up from their little villa in Tuscany.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, didn't exactly. You got rid of the whole consultant middleman situation, right? Yeah. And said, why are we paying all these other people?
We've got tons of Republican consultants. And when they're not ripping their clients off, they're writing articles in the Denver Post how Michelle Malkin is the worst human being ever. I mean, just the Republicans are just tremendous in this state.
Oh, Chuck is all upset again now, Ted.
I'm not upset. I'm very happy. I'm just, you know.
Hey, listen, any final thoughts on any of the stuff we've talked about?
Well, first of all, I think there's hope for Republicans, believe it or not. I don't think it's going to happen this election cycle. I think that we're going to continue to move farther and farther left. I think we're going to continue moving farther and farther left. And I do think over time we'll
winning the elections, what difference does it make?
Let him finish.
It's like the whites in Mississippi. Oh, they're getting more segregationists. Oh, okay. That's really going to be a problem.
You know, and then I think the other thing you're going to see, you know, happen in November, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit, but I'm going to do a plug, is, you know, the ballot initiative on national popular vote is going to pass. And people are going to, oh my gosh, accept a concept, one person, one vote. Imagine that.
Yeah, one
I don't know. There's money in it, and we're going to have to get the other people on there against it.
I would love to. I'll send them back.
Saying why it's such a great job for Republicans, because it really, really help them. I like the guy, but yeah, that was great.
Ted, listen, thank you for your time as always. Sure appreciate it.
Ted, you're great.
No. Always glad to be on. It's a lot of fun.
Right. We love you.
All right, thank you. Ted Tripp is here. Follow him on Twitter at Ted Trimp, but check out his column in the Denver Post. And I see we have our next guest here already, Mick Jolly. Hey, Mick, thank
you. How are you?
You were, number one, you're a friend of our producer, so.
Nothing better than
that. Well, I appreciate that, yes.
Nothing better than that. Former special agent with the Secret Service, a former sheriff officer, so I call you a law enforcement expert. And now you have a company, Risk Solutions Unlimited, providing global security. And wanted to get you on.
To tell us all about the Clintons and the Bushes.
First the gossip.
All right. Well, I don't know which one to know gossip-wise, but I was asked this question recently, and I'll tell you that one of the things to keep in mind with the Clintons is when they travel together, they travel like this. They never really like to light in the same place. You know, during my time with Secret Service, not the only time they really were together at the same time and place was Ronald Reagan's funeral, you know, or campaign events. Yeah. You know, really, we had an incident in Seattle. I shouldn't say an incident, but we had Hillary Clinton was out doing some fundraising for Patty Murray, one of our very Democrat senators out here. And at the same time, Bill Clinton was on a book tour, and it turned out their schedules were going to be overlapping. However, the two different groups hadn't really talked to each other. You'd think their staffers would talk to his staffers. We're the Secret Service, and we're like, hey, we got two protectees. Are we housing them in the same place, or what are we doing? So we bring this up. And as soon as that occurred, she had urgent business back in Washington.
Oh!
You know, it just developed out of nowhere. You know, so that's
well, now they're no longer in the White House. I'm sure they spend a lot of concubinal time together. And they're
Bill's had some lonely Thanksgivings, and that kind of thing. And again, you can't always blame it on the other half's work, because we know that Congress, meaning the Senate and our congressmen, are not in session over Thanksgiving weekend. So
that's a good point.
It is a family business for them. So, you know, what can I say on that? You know,
that's right.
We'll say this though, that Bill Clinton was always very nice to people. You know, I worked with him the times I did. He was, you know, a former president, and he was actually very respectful, very polite. And that was interesting to see. I mean, I'm not making a moral conclusion about some of his things that I may not be directly aware of.
I was going to say, did you get to Pedal Island?
but I would say that to the agents and to the people he interacted with in my presence, he was always very respectful of people. Hillary was, you know, quite snotty and rude. I remember her basically, we were putting her up for the night and at a particular hotel in Seattle. And she went in to make a phone call. And keep in mind, it's about 11 o'clock at night, and I'm outside the door briefing the agents. It's going to be posted there for the evening. And all of a sudden, she goes on some kind of a rant on the phone. And, you know, if when you hear people talk about cussing like a sailor, I don't know who it was, but she had to make a call back to D.C. So somebody at 2 in the morning was getting an earful. I'm just glad it wasn't me. So,
you don't know that.
So I mean, that says a lot. You know, when you tell your daughters, you know, as you grow up, you know, pay attention to how they treat the waitress and the waiter and those kind of things, because that says a lot about the person's character. That goes a long way. It doesn't mean they're a perfect person by any means, but that's a starting point. So,
That's interesting to know.
George Bush still shouldn't have invaded Iraq, but
well, you know, and I'll tell you what, I can't say enough good about George H. Bush and Barbara Bush and as well as George W. Bush and Laura Bush. I mean, they were just fantastic people to work around as human beings. When I first started doing my hair like it is currently. We had sort of this last minute trip for Laura Bush as the first lady. She was doing a personal trip with some friends and came out to Olympic National Park. She was supposed to be over in Glacier, but there were some fires. And so I was busy putting Tom Ridge on an airplane, or then, Secretary of Homeland Security.
He's special these days.
Yeah. And then I basically booked home, grabbed some gear, headed off to the peninsula to get ready for this visit that was unanticipated. Well, you know, my hair was not looking that great. I mean, when it thins a little, you like to keep a little bit shorter, you know, because otherwise it starts to look really ratty. So, you know, I shaved it down on that trip for the first time all the way, bicked it down. And Ms. Bush, former first lady now, but at that time she was first lady. Agent Jolly, do you need some sunscreen? You know, that was the character of those folks, you know, the way they look out for you.
I wish I'd done a better job for the country, but here they are.
I'm not able to judge every political decision, but if you look at them as human beings, there's definitely some strong differences, especially when you compare the first ladies. Oh my goodness.
So if you're up in Washington area, you visit the chop zone.
Yes, indeed. In fact, we had a team that was out working all the time during the entire month of June, covering all of the area circulating. We had a client that were basically looking out for their interests downtown. And so we were in and out of the chop, around the chop, and then we've had some other assignments where we've taken individuals in. Some of these folks were, you know, people involved with government or potential government candidates. Won't go into any of that, but we would escort them into the chop because they wanted to be able to see for themselves, what was going on, and be able to articulate what they saw with their own eyes as opposed to what the media was feeding. I was listening to somebody else's broadcast earlier, and it was interesting how he said it, because he said what we get in the news today is curated, right? And
right.
Of course, we saw that with how Seattle and Portland and other American cities were being discussed in the news in a big way. Very curated, very selective content going out. Not talking about the rapes, talking about the crime, not talking about the destruction of property, not talking about the people that were basically subject to abuse to make it to, you know, their own residence. And if somebody had just stepped a little ways away from some of the protests and talked to the people like we had an opportunity to do, if you go just a little bit north of where the Chaz was, for example, there's a couple of fantastic restaurants. One of them is a Taste of Caribe. So I'll give them a shout out there. Fantastic food. We got quite a bit of food from there. You know, the people there, I mean, I don't want to, this may sound poor, but I was the whitest thing around. Right. And they could not understand what all the knuckleheads just a few blocks over were doing. They just did not understand it. And when we would have individuals that would, we would see that would approach these protest rallies, and they would make all kinds of comments and statements about, hey, you guys go home, you're tearing up our city. And you would end up with a wall of a half dozen or more of these protesters who quickly move over and try and intimidate and silence these people. So, you know, try and keep them from having freedom of speech. And of course, did the news cameras turn over for that? No, they stayed on, somebody else was ill about oppression. So
it wasn't, as the mayor described, a summer of love for everyone.
not by any means. And, there's a mentally disabled Caucasian fellow that was being abused to him and in the middle of the Chaz. And we had a team going through with one of our protected individuals. And one of the party put up a cell phone camera, drew some attention from this abuser. And he basically wanted to shut that down. And so he started approaching real quick, which made him stop the abuse.
Right.
But at the same time, in this, and I should, state, this mentally disabled individual, he was unclothed. And, there's 1,000 people around there, and nobody's doing anything about it. But, so this tension gets called, the guys end up creating a screen, and the individual makes some comment, this aggressor made some comment about having a gun and stepped in closer, the guy just cold cocked him, dropped him. Then all of a sudden people got upset, you can't do that to this African-American individual. Mm. But it was okay while he was, you know, basically, you know, striking, kicking, abusing, whatever this, you know, unclothed, mentally disabled individual. And so, of course, that got pretty aggravated, so they had to get the team out of there. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that goes unchecked when we don't have law enforcement present.
Right.
And, you know, that, which what a shame it is how we just, of course, lost the great chief of police there with Carmen Best.
Yeah, well,
I have to tell you, I didn't know much about Carmen prior to this. She's a chief, and you assume, you know, anybody that makes a chief of police, there's a political animal in there somewhere, because there is, you know, some politicking that has to make the top. But she, you know, however it was, you know, she did have street creds. She had, she was a former military personnel, so she served in that capacity as well, and then became the chief of police. And she tried her hardest as if you look back, to really back her people, and back the community. And what a shame it is that the community, I can't say the community didn't back her. I mean, there's a select, very loud group that didn't back her, and therefore.
Right.
Including seven of the eight.
The city council.
Seven of the eight, and really eight of the eight, because the other one wanted to do even more cutting. But,
right.
Yeah. I mean, what are the businesses? In America,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be good for your business, right?
Well, I don't know. Are the businesses going to stay there? I mean,
let me share that we had such a huge spike in our business. We're a small business. We're a regional business. I've consulted in places far and wide, but as far as the things we do day to day, our bread and butter, it's in the Pacific Northwest, because this is where I live, right? Why should I travel to Chicago of all places when I can do similar work right here in a much prettier environment, in my opinion. These days, for sure, right? But Seattle's no longer that pretty environment. We've seen a spike in our work, and my colleagues and other associates working in our profession have been busy. We had an opportunity to support a Screen Actors Guild event that was first one to go since the quarantine. And it was supposed to be a fairly small detail, but it augmented because of all the checks and the quarantine and the monitoring and all that kind of stuff. So finding personnel to do that and qualified people was a real pain in the neck, just because everybody was so busy working with the news.
No, I thought those actors, they're supposed to be woke, right? Yeah. They're not supposed to need protection. So there you go.
This one probably did need protection, because they were pulling a little bit of a public stunt in the way. And I won't ruin their story, but it was good they had protection. But I would suggest that our team was left in the dark a little bit to some of what the production crew was attempting to do. That we don't appreciate when hostilities are purposely created and then left kind of holding the bag and trying, stabilize a negative situation. So that didn't need to be in the first place, or we could have been better prepared with a little bit of foresight, but they were trying to be so top secret that, they didn't think it was important to share certain details. So
the protection thing.
They're above that, right? So they're, they're Hollywood. So
They're Hollywood. What do you make of that though? In Seattle, they get rid of they defund the police. They get rid of the police. I mean, but if you're a cop in Seattle, you're gonna be like, oh, this is fun. And number one, I know even here in Denver, in the Colorado area, there's been a real decrease in the officer-initiated contacts. You can't blame them, right?
And you're correct. So let's just say that Washington State Patrol, it's a respected agency. They're not an agency that does full-blown police work for the most part. They do have some folks that are in task force things, but basically they're very traffic focused. And they had a trickle down recommendation that if you're stopping somebody on the highway and they are African-American, just advise them of their speed or whatever and send them on their way. But if it's been either of you, particularly with your out-of-state plates coming through, you'd have gotten a ticket, or I'd have gotten a ticket. I might could be able to say, hey, I'm a former this, that, and the other. I'm packing my firearm. Maybe I'd have gotten a pass, maybe not. But, but there's no guarantee that there'd been, any kind of a courtesy on that. But
I could claim my Elizabeth Warren Indian tribal status.
Yeah.
So you're, as part of the first people, you're entitled to your reparations, of course.
There you go. Right, exactly.
Exactly.
How do you, my big concern about all of this, because as we watch crime skyrocket, And it's not just shootings. I mean, we had 11 people at a park, like six of them kids, shot in Denver over the weekend, right? I mean, a drive-by shooting. I mean, this is not something that just, let's just say, I keep saying, you know, Joe Biden wins. Okay. I mean, this doesn't go away then, right?
Well, I mean, you know what? And I think you're correct. I mean, there's that old adage that my enemy's enemy is my friend. And I think the Democrats and the Marxist slash Antifa connection is doing some of that. But I think it's beyond their control because now you take these people that you have indoctrinated in our local universities at public expense to a certain degree, and now they're out. You turn them loose. They don't understand something called chain of command. They don't understand respect. And so when they show up at Mayor Jenny Durkin's house and start protesting, then all of a sudden they're a problem, right?
Right.
You know, or Ted Wheeler, when all of a sudden he doesn't get the warm reception and the jackbooted thugs, as they called them, left, you know, and so they're saying, okay, if you've got the federal building, we'll go ahead and leave, but now it's your job. And now he's left holding the bag and his own police department comes under fire. Then all of a sudden he comes out and you've heard the news, and I'm just repeating what everybody knows. You know, he goes ahead and calls it attempted homicide to try and burn people, you know, in a building or burn an occupied building. Yet that's what was happening repeatedly night after night in Portland.
As Rose Pierre found out, it's often hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
Yes. And I think that's, you know, you may not like everything that guy did, but we can learn from that bit of wisdom right there.
There you go. Listen, Mick, we have run out of time. We'll have to have you back. Great. You're great.
Hey, I would love to.
Do you do any writing, or you just appear on talk shows? You're just
you know, it's an invitation opportunity. So I'm glad to meet with you folks. You know, I write once in a while an article on LinkedIn very sparingly, but you know, these days I shouldn't say that I'm haven't been motivated. It's just I never really felt appropriate, particularly like when you're with Secret Service. I think it's a bad idea to be taking notes and writing a book just so that, you know, like people working in staff at the White House did recently. But at the same time, you know, I'm at that point where it's like, you know what, it's time to, you know, speak my mind a little bit more about I see and compare. And I think we need more voices like that. So I appreciate learning about your show and the things that you guys are doing. And I'm going to become a regular listener for you. Even if you're out of Colorado, you're talking about national issues that affect me too. So thank you.
That's great.
All right. Well, thank
very
you.
Nice
we will
to
get you
you.
Back.
Gotta
great
get
to
you
meet
back.
You. We'll have you back. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Hey, real quick before we go, Chuck, you want to tell folks, actually, you've got a Cinegenics appointment tomorrow.
You know, this is Julie McCallum. Fantastic stuff. Age management. Get your hormones, get your vitamins, get your heart, get all of it in balance. And you can't know by yourself what you need or don't need. You need to go to professional, and you'll get personal one-on-one with Julie McCallum. And there's no better doctor in age management than Julie McCallum, and getting you to the best you can be at Cinegenics. And the number 720-387-3681.
All right, that'll do it for us today. On Friday, we got the Party Friday edition of the Chuck and Julie Show. If you've missed any of the podcasts, if you want to listen to something that maybe you thought you missed here, just go to chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. Thank you to everybody listening on Zoom, everybody who called in. Thanks, as always, to our great guys at BBS Radio, and we'll see you on Party Friday.
And be sure to check out Colorado Citizen Press. It's a blog you need to go to.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.